attempt to ever be so diligent in moving your educational experience forward, we are not done with the fast story yet. It's a very long story. So we're going to shorten it. So you might want to write this stuff down because there is no handout for it. So what are we going to do? When you work in this business, if you're ever in a position of having to deal with this stuff, what you find yourself doing is editing. I mean, there are reporters that go out and generate stories, and that's fine, but aside from not a reporter, what you're going to do, whether it's an Associated Press wire story, whether it's a newspaper story, or regardless of the source, you're going to edit. You have to decide what to leave in and what to leave out, because you don't have enough time to put everything in. So, for this assignment, what you have in front of you today is the rough draft. The graded assignment is due on Friday by 1 o'clock in my office, which, as you all know, is in the Fisher Building in downtown Detroit. That's not true. It's right outside Studio A. It's due by 1 o'clock, and here are the criteria. Your rewritten or edited story can be no longer than 6 sentences.
Wow.
No longer than 6 sentences?
Okay. So you have to decide what to leave in and what to leave out, because you can't put it all in there. I don't want 6 really long sentences, but I don't think 15 to 20 words. I need both versions, however. On Friday, you should have the edited version stapled on top of the rough draft or full-length version. Okay? So I can take a look at what you indeed left in and what you left out. Edited version on top of the long version. Stapled. Please don't paperclip it. Please don't binder clip it. Please don't
solder it.
Use spit. Don't use solder. Don't use any kind of gum product.
No spot welding.
Please don't do an origami thing on it where you bend the paper around to keep it all together.
Magic.
Staple it. Stapler is available at the front desk. I'll be more than happy to. So the short version is not the long version. No more than 6 sentences by Friday at 1 o'clock. After 1 o'clock is considered late, unless, of course, you're absent. Okay. Now, Friday, I assume I'm going to be here. I may not be in the office. You know, Friday mornings I do this audio lab thing. You remember that? The songs stand the test of time. Okay. Yeah. It doesn't matter. I have a mail slot in my door, as you may have recalled. It's a little low. Just slide it in there. Okay. Make sure your name's on it. Any questions about it?
So we're going to make our own executive decision about what to leave in and what to...
Well, I'm going to give you a little guidelines.
Oh, okay.
Guidance here. Although it is tempting to turn you loose.
Is it?
Well, I'll give you a couple of examples here. What's the story about again?
That's becoming permanent.
Permanent.
False.
So... the one fact, for example, how many people were hurt in the sweeps, not hurt in the sweeps, does that have anything to do with it becoming permanent?
No.
No, it doesn't. 642 crimes are committed, 50 of the murders, anything have to do with it becoming permanent?
No.
No. Fugitive information.
The disposition, That too. The disposition line should stay the same. Everybody we heard today had that correct. The 800 speak up. It's a logical ending. That's fine, of course. And it's, again, it speaks to what's next and what's next with the story. Well, if you have a fugitive information, please call. So there's a couple of examples of facts that can go away. To address Jordan's point about the individual officers, 16 of these and 17 of those. A couple of you already have done that, and you've combined the numbers. Okay, you simplified it. Because your audience needs to know it's 16 Detroit police officers, and one from Livonia, and one from Taylor, Because it doesn't change the story. Does it, if there were two from Livonia, does it change anything? No, the story is about it becoming permanent, not how many people are in the situation. So yes, you can simplify those numbers. And yes, I would include that information. I think it's important to let your eyes know who's running the show here. But please find somebody to combine the number so you're not getting all bogged down with 16 of this and 15 of that and a partridge in a pear tree, yes.
Is there a difference between a police officer and a sheriff deputy?
Yes, sir. Sheriff's deputies are county officials.
So you'd have to clarify which is which instead of saying 30-some officers?
Well, they're all law enforcement officials.
Okay.
But yeah, the sheriff is a county deputy.
Okay.
Police officer is a city.
Can you say all law enforcement officials?
Can I say all of them?
No, can you say, just some of the law enforcement officials?
Yes. From Wayne County, yeah. Yeah, there are lots of ways you can say that, but law enforcement, they're all law enforcement officials.
If we get this done before Friday, can we just slip it under your door early?
Yeah.
So we don't forget.
Kim Wise going for the overachiever award.
Yeah. I mean, I'm asking for other people.
You can even hand it. I know you haven't spoken to the group. Yeah, or you could hand it to me personally. Yes, that'd be fine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can do it before then, that's fine.
Well, even if you are in there, I'm just going to put it on the door.
Yeah, I figured you would.
Yeah.
Yeah, make me bend down and pick it up. Thank you. It's important to keep limber. All right. Is there any questions about the assignment? So you're basically done. So, I mean, if you want to retype it or redo the leader one, well, here's your chance to do that, fix it anyway. It gives you a chance to edit and figure out what to leave and what to leave out. And for some of you, it may not be a big deal, okay? For some, it may be, oh, my God, I need to reinvent the wheel, and that's okay. There you go. And it also gives you a chance to rewrite your story, which is what the key to success here is being into rewriting it. And Crystal, you have a question?
Yes. I like a lot of story to tell, like the exact number. Do I have to put the exact number, or can I do like the...
To answer your question, no, you don't have to necessarily, unless it changes the content or the purpose of your story. How many fugitives did they arrest? What's the real number? 1,270, right?
Kids.
Well, now again, it's got to be in your story. It's got to be in your story because, even the edited version, because the story's about this unit becoming permanent, and you got to address the question, why is it becoming permanent? So the number's got to be in there. You figure that question out. Second question is, does my audience need to know the exact number? And again, does your story change if it was 1,280 fugitives that they arrested? 1,240, does your story change any? No.
Absolutely.
It doesn't, so you can round that number off.
Okay, so nearly 2,000, okay?
But it's not nearly 2,000, it's
1,270.
Wait, recalculating. It's nearly 1,300, yeah, we better.
So, can you leave it the exact number, or you can...
Not unless you want some red ink on your paper.
Oh, no.
I'm giving you the gold nuggets here, man. You got to take them up. No, you need to write that stuff off. Somebody did that, too, with the number of murders, 642, and they said nearly 650. I thought that was really cool, too. But yeah. Well, 642 is not a big number, but it's good to round that off. Anybody else? Yep.
So do you want us to fix the copy that we have now and then make that our rough draft? And then make another edit version with
just the 16? No, save yourself some time. No, you have to.
Okay.
You've written all over the original version, right?
Right.
No, that's fine. Then leave that alone. No, I don't want you to read. No. There's no reason to. I appreciate it. Thank you. Unless you want to. No, but I want it fixed in the edited version if necessary. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I'm looking for. Thank you. Appreciate it. Any other questions about that? Are we okay with that? If there are any, please ask or email. I plan on being here Thursday and Friday. So. Well, here's the lecture for today. Yes, what makes a story newsworthy? What does that mean? So much of this, it's hard to relate to you. I wish I could find a way to take everybody over to WWJ or Fox 2 or someplace and we all hang out in the newsroom for a while. Because again, like with editing your story that you're going to do for Friday, when you're sitting there at the producer's desk, you have to decide what to leave in and what to leave out of not just the news story, but the newscast, or the sports cast, or the entertainment report, or the farm report, or the business report, or whatever it is you're doing, because you've got this much stuff and this much time. So there has to be a way to do it. There has to be priorities. These stories will always make it. These stories may make it, whatever. And every place you work is going to have a different way of looking at that, and a different philosophy of looking at that. If you could watch Fox 2 and Channel 4 and 7 at the same time, does anybody do that? No. You need like 3 TV sets. Or flip between them. They don't always lead with the same story. Now, I almost guarantee you, barring something else happening, if Jane Bishar's husband did confess, that would be the lead story everywhere. I mean, unless there was something else that superseded it. But on a normal news day, it depends on what Fox 2 thinks is the lead story and what Channel 4 might think the lead story is. A lot of that depends on demographic and so forth. Whatever. So I can't possibly teach you how every station does it, because we'd be here for the rest of your life. And I assume there's other things you want to get out and go do. So I'm going to give you a way to do this. There are 6 things you got to consider when deciding whether a story, news story, sports story, doesn't matter, belongs in a newscast. Okay? 6 things. They are not in any particular order of importance. They're all important, but if there was one that was more important than the rest, the first one would be it. It has timeliness. In order for a story to make it into a newscast or a sportscast or whatever it is, and I'm going to say newscast because it's going to get really annoying if I keep listing off all those other variations, but you have to remember that the same rules apply to whatever you're doing. There's got to be something new about it. There's got to be something timely about it. It's like the story we worked on today. I mean, if FAST was not becoming permanent, would we be doing a story on it? Maybe not. There's nothing new to report. The Flight 255 story that you did. Okay. The fact that the plane crash isn't news anymore, the reason it's in the news is because they found out what the cause was. Okay, there's got to be something new about it, or else, obviously, you listen to a sports cast today, they're not going to be talking too much about the Detroit Lions, are they? Probably not, because there's nothing new to report. You know, there's nothing new, so why do a story on what the Detroit Lions aren't doing anything today? Thank you. There's got to be something that's happened that's new, or something that's going to happen. Again, present tense is cool. Something going on now. Also, something coming up in the future is also good, too. Okay. You'll be hearing a lot in the news about Michigan's presidential primary, which is coming up in, or GOP presidential primary, which is coming up in a couple of weeks. So they'll start dominating the news fairly soon. What happened with the ones yesterday? Colorado, Minnesota, and the other one I always forget.
Santorum.
Rick Santorum won all of them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although there were no candidates involved.
Yeah. A couple of those weren't that necessarily big a deal, but anyway, Michigan's is coming up, so that'll be in the news here shortly. They'll start doing preview stories and so on about it. The candidates will be coming into town, they'll be coming into the state, they'll be rolling around, they'll be knock it on your door. They vote for me. And I'll set you free. Next week. When you're deciding whether a story belongs, proximity is important thing is an important thing to consider. I just remembered something from last week. I didn't pay my light bill.
Don't you hate that when you remember that?
That wasn't it. I didn't get this done either, so I know I'm going to screw your notes up.
Oh man, they're all trash now.
I know. I think last week I wrote news is, and I never got around to the definition. So we're going to stop here for a week, because it relates directly to this. The definition of what news is something that interests or affects your audience. You've got to keep in mind it's your audience. And if you want to be successful in this business, the best way to go about that is to develop an interest, a little interest in a lot of things. Okay. Some of you, when you watch television, you're notorious remote control flippers. Are you?
Yeah.
Only two or three of you, really? I thought more people did that. You just watch a lot of... I don't think I've seen a program from beginning to end, and I don't know when. You're always flipping around to it, and you find that stuff that you land on a National Geographic thing, or great shows, Modern Marvels, that's or how is it made, or even Dirty Jobs with Mike Rowe. And, you know, how do they do that? How's that made? Do you have a curiosity thing going on?
Yeah, I'm pretty curious.
That's good. Of course, I never miss an episode of Kim and Chloe to New York. Anyway, news is something that interests or affects your audience. And as I said, and I'll say it again, you need to have a little knowledge about a lot of things. Because this is not about what you like, necessarily. It's what your audience needs to know. So, when you're selecting news stories, proximity is important because news is what happens close to your audience in a couple of different ways. News is what happens close to your audience geographically. I mean, literally, in your audience, in your town, you know, in your state, in your country, okay, your parish or wherever it happens to be, or emotionally. And of course, it could be both of them. The story about the guy who blew up his house with him and his two sons in it. Where did that happen? In Utah. Is that geographically close to here?
No.
Emotionally close?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sad. Emotionally close to that. That's what I heard, yeah. Your audience will always be most interested in the story that has a local angle to it. So we talked about putting Wayne County in the lead here. Okay. All right, I guess that's all I got to say about that. Any questions about the timeliness or proximity? Are we okay with that?
What was the definition of proximity?
News is what happens close to your audience. Either geographically close. You know, I mean, the city of Detroit's going through all their financial issues and whatnot. Is that important to the people around this area?
Yeah.
Yep. Is it important to the people in Boise, Idaho?
Nope.
Mm-hmm. What if the if there was to be an emergency financial manager in Detroit, it was the former mayor of Boise? Would that make the people in Boise more interested?
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe people in Boise don't care. Has anybody ever been to Boise, Idaho?
Yes.
Have you? I always kind of trash it out a little bit. Is it a good time?
It's a very nice
place. Very nice time. I should stop talking badly about it.
Well, Idaho also has the largest number per capita of millionaires in the of all the states, yes.
Of what?
Millionaires.
Millionaires.
All right. Next one is significance. Also a two-part question here. Who among... When you're trying to determine whether the story you're deciding upon is significant to your audience, you have to ask yourself, who among your audience is interested or affected? And then the second question is, how many are? Who among your audience is interested and affected by this story? And how many are? All right. Example. Say for some reason MDOT, our beloved Michigan Department of Transportation, decides it's necessary to close I-696 between I know, Campbell Hilton and Evergreen.
Both ways.
Yeah, both ways, east and west. For about a week. Significant?
Yeah.
Yeah, for a lot of people it would be, sure. What if the the Brighton school teachers decide to walk off the job today, how many people would be interested or affected by that story?
A lot.
How many people would be affected by it, first of all?
A lot
of people.
Who would be?
All the kids.
People in Brighton would be, right?
Parents. Teachers.
Parents in Livonia be affected by that story?
Yeah.
Could be.
How could they be?
Relatives.
Stop. I can't hear you. What?
Paying attention to what's going on just in case if something like that was to happen in Livonia.
Well, okay, but just take the story in itself. Teachers in Brighton walk off their job. Let's make it more local. Let's go more local. The instructors at Specs Howard say, that's it. I'll see you later. Who's that? I mean, how many people will be affected by that? would the people in Brighton be affected by that?
No.
Probably not. Okay. It would be a limited...
If there were students from Brighton, or...
Yeah, three of them. Now, again, the whole thing we're looking at here is if we're working in Detroit and we're doing newscasts, okay, I should probably preface that. What if the price of gasoline and shoots up to $6 a gallon?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you wake up tomorrow morning and all of a sudden, oh, my God, it's $5.99. Who's affected? So if you're trying to put together a newscast and you're looking at the price of gas going up to $6 a gallon, Brighton teachers walk off the job. Let's take those two. What story you start with?
Yeah.
Because why?
It
affects a greater number of people, right? Now you can take away the gas story and maybe you leave with the Brighton story because that's the best story you have. The best story is determined by the one that interests or affects the greatest number of people in your audience. What's the first story of a newscast called, you know?
Lead story.
The lead story. What do you think the job of the lead story is? What? What? Get the audience's attention, right? And pull them into the
newscast.
Trap.
Just like a lead sentence's job is to get your audience's attention, pull them into the story. Okay. So you want to lead the newscast with the best story you have, the one that interests or affects the greatest number of people, in your opinion. So significance works at not only determining whether the story belongs in the first place. Okay? Because again, if the instructional staff at Specs Howard walked off the job today, you might not even make the news. Depends on what kind of a news day we're having. Okay? Or why we walked out, or you know, or something else, but the price of gas probably would, eh? So not only is it determined whether the story belongs, but where in the newscast it belongs. So your best story goes first. Where's your second best story go? Wait for it. What?
Next.
Second.
Thank you. Third best?
Third.
Yeah, see? God, you guys got it made. Now, there are exceptions to the rule, obviously. You got to leave with your best story regardless. A lot of people get confused by the things they will billboard or tease, come up later in the newscast, and so forth. But that's not their best story. They're just trying to keep you hooked into the newscast and keep you hanging around. What?
I saw this morning on 7 that they had these caffeine spritzes that you can actually inhale caffeine.
Oh, where? Excuse me.
They're on sale.
Really?
Yes, indeed.
Okay. Use it like that? Use that?
No, like inhalers.
Oh, like inhalers. Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Cool.
In New York and Massachusetts.
It hasn't been FDA approved.
Yeah. The exception to the rule is for commercials, obviously. If you have four really strong stories and then you know it's your fifth story that might not be as strong in terms of this, a lot of times what will happen is you'll do your first two and then you'll save your third one for after the commercial break. So you'll tease it, you know, so they have something strong to come back with instead of going through it. There are a lot of ways to do this. But generally speaking, the best story goes first, always. Okay? All right, significance, ready to move on? I think I have. Can I erase this? Horrible board name that I tell you. I just, you know, somebody that manages the board really well, somebody that just can't do it to Dean. Going up to number four. When deciding whether a story belongs in a newscast or a sportscast or whatever, conflict is an element that you need to consider because any good story has conflict in it. Any good story has conflict. The Republican GOP presidential race-off between generally Mitt Romney and Newt Gingrich, any conflict there? You paying attention to that at all? I know what you mean. It's difficult sometimes, but you should. Yeah, there's conflict there between the New England Patriots and the New York Giants last Sunday night. Was there conflict there?
Yeah.
Sure there was. Absolutely. Between Michigan State and Michigan on the basketball court on Sunday, any conflict there?
Yeah.
Not a lot, but... Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, any conflict there?
Yeah.
Cinderella, any conflict in that story?
Yes.
Sure. Yep. There sure is.
Yeah, Huntsman. Oh, wait, that was Snow White.
Four types of conflict. Mm-hmm. I've heard you someplace else.
Like fairy tales, right?
Person versus person. It used to be man versus man, but then women's groups sued, and now it's person versus person. Politics, one reason that politics is interesting, and I know it's also annoying, and it can be a lot of other things too, but one reason it's interesting is because of the conflict between the two people. Okay, there'll be a lot of it. Your President Obama's re-election committee will now accept super PAC money.
Mm-hmm.
Like what?
Super PAC money.
And political action.
Political Action Committee money?
Yeah. Super.
A lot of the ads you'll see on... It used to be, once upon a time, a long, long time ago, in a land far, far away. If you saw a political ad, it was paid for, and some still are paid for by the candidate's re-election committee. Paid for by the Obama for President Committee, or paid for by the Gingrich for President. And then usually the candidate will come on and say, I approve of this message, or what have you. Well, now they've allowed the Supreme Court last year... said corporations are now people, and you cannot exclude corporations, which were always excluded by from contributing directly to presidential campaigns because of the obvious potential conflict of interest. Now they can. General Electric, IBM, General Motors can wheel the wheelbarrow full of money to whoever they want to. There you go, Newt. Or there you go. Mitt, there you go, Barack, have at it. And they don't have to disclose they're doing it.
I thought they did.
So, it's just huge amounts of money. I mean, just huge. Millions and millions and millions and millions and millions. They bought so many ads, what was it, in South Carolina? The super PACs bought some, that the stations ran out of room to air them. There was literally no more, all the slots were gone. Okay. Conflict. Person versus person. Athletics is another quote. Okay. Person versus him or herself. Story of the Super Bowl. And of course, I'm blanking on his name. Tight end for the New England Patriots.
Gronkowski.
He works on the weekends at the condominium. The guy is just huge, right? And he had an ankle sprain. Okay. So that was a little sideline story about that. It's just trying to figure out whether he could play, not play, should he play, how hurt is he, and so forth. Here once in a while, the person in the wheelchair wheeling across the United States to raise awareness for the Special Olympics or something like that is a person. The one story a few years ago about the 16-year-old girl that was tried to sail around the world.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that one?
Yeah, I do.
How about that? What's up with that?
I don't know.
Mom and Dad said, you want to do what, honey? You want to sail around by yourself? Okay, sweetheart. Look at your little boat.
Kim really got a kick out.
I don't know. I have a son who's 15, and he's driving. I mean, he's still with somebody. He's got the permit and all that stuff. I mean, I'm scared to death of him driving the car. I'm sitting like this far from him. You know, I can't imagine putting him in a boat and say, okay, Tom, there you go.
Yeah.
But that's what the story would be. It's a person versus him or herself. Because you're out there alone, you got to sail the boat, and you got to see where you're going.
She got
long.
For some reason. Yeah, she didn't make it. She got lost. She was rescued. She's okay.
They give him credit for trying. Don't get me wrong. I'm not putting it down the effort that says. I don't get the parental thing or the parental thing.
Versus fate.
I don't
know.
That was my
take
on it.
Person versus fate, the form of conflict. There's lots of stories. Generally speaking, it's a story about the. Let me go back to 9/11. The people that not only made it to work on time that day, or the people that didn't. People were supposed to be in the Twin Towers that morning, but didn't make it because the car wouldn't start. Then it last minute a phone call. That's all fate. The last one is person versus nature. The flooding in the Philippines, to tornadoes that ravaged the south, to people surviving earthquakes. I think a lot of these are intertwined, obviously. But if you have a story that's got some conflict in it, your audience might be interested in it. Okay. Number five is prominence. Prominence is defined as what happens to well-known or important people, places, or things. That's why watching the news is so important. It's almost essential. You got to know who these people are. Okay? Not that you can know everything about everybody, nor do I, but you have to watch if you're trying to keep up. Okay? It's not just well-known people. It's things. It's buildings. It's a lot of hotels are renovated every day in this country, but when they redid the Westin Book Cadillac downtown, that got some news because it's a historic, it's a well-known place. How many people do you think are pulled over for driving under the suspicion of driving under the influence in the United States every day? Who do we hear about? What?
Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson. Well, Mel Gibson's a what? Prominent person, right?
Was
a Randy Travis. Mm-hmm. You know what the story is on that?
He got stopped with an open bottle of wine. He said he'd still been partying from the Super Bowl party.
He was passed out. He was passed out from a church.
Oh, yeah.
He got so drunk at a Super Bowl party, he walked home and passed out of a church.
Who?
Randy Travis, he said. That's what he said.
He was out of the church?
Yeah. Well,
so. No. I suppose you're going to pass out somewhere. It's either the best or the worst place to do it. I don't know. Kind of depends how you look at it. But that's what we hear about. I mean, a lot of people passed out after a Super Bowl party. I mean, you know. So you may have done that, you know. But you didn't make the news because, again, I'm sorry, you're just not newsworthy enough. I'm sorry. You got to wait till you graduate and you go out and you make a name for yourself. Then pass out. Then you'll get the news.
New goal.
But you have to keep... You got to keep in mind what's going on here. You have to learn from this. It's hard to learn lessons, but it's, you know, if you do get to a position where you are well known, and some of you will, maybe all of you will, it does make a difference. I mean, right now you could pass out and fall down, and nobody's going to care too much besides maybe who you're with, or your parents, or whatever. But at some point in time, you're going to be plastered all over the news, man. You snort that caffeine and get stuck in your face. Snort that caffeine.
That'll extend the binge right there.
Yeah. Too much salt in the bread, but with the snort caffeine, yeah. That's okay. I was thinking like one of those like Vicks inhaler jobbers, you know? Those types of things.
Yeah, no, it's like a...
Like an asthma inhaler. Yeah, like an asthma inhaler. Mm-hmm. I could use one right now, probably. All right, so the last one is human interest. The human interest story. The There's two ways to look at this term. One is the human interest story, and that's the one that usually ends a newscast. It's usually the feel-good story about the whole thing. It's about the cat that dials 911 to save their owner. Remember last marketing period we did Toby the Golden Retriever thing? Oh, yeah. All those are human interest stories. The entertainment news, the lighter side of the news, those are all human interest stories. That's what I'm talking about. Those types of stories are always cool. Why do they always end newscasts, or generally end newscasts with them? After watching all the mayhem that went on beforehand, yes, that's exactly why they do that. They do it on the radio too. If you either Associated Press or Metro News, the last story in a news watch or the major news of the day will be a lighter story. They will collect those stories and you can print those off separately if you like. It's any kind of feel good. Kind of a story. Okay. All right. Again, the significant part of all of this is you've got to keep in mind who your audience is. We talked about the last marketing period. And wherever you go to work, you're going to have demos, you have an audience you're going to reach, and it makes a difference. Okay. If you're working on WRIF, for example, you could mention Foo Fighters and be okay, probably. But if you're working at WJR, probably not. Okay. You have to know who it is you're talking to, who you're talking about. Any food fans out here? Yeah, food fans?
Yeah. Food fans?
Food fans. Food. Those who know, though, what I'm talking about. Is the new episode in New York?
I think they just brought one out.
Yeah? You haven't heard of the new one? No?
It looks like UFOs in World War II.
Well, the last thing I did, I don't know. I thought you were a fan, Paul. Yeah, but I'm a Foo Fighter fan. Yeah. Not a big fan, but I got to see them at the Palace a number of years ago. They were playing the acoustic stuff.
They are good.
And they're very good. Dave Grohl's very good. And, Taylor Hackford, who's a drummer?
Taylor Hawkins.
Taylor Hackford is a director. So six elements of news: timeliness, proximity, significance, conflict, prominence, and human interest. The way it works is when you're putting together a newscast, when you have a story, and the more of these things that apply to that story, the news story gets included, but the higher the newscast it goes. If Bashar's husband confessed, don't say he did, but if he did, is it timely?
Yes.
Would it be timely?
Yes.
Right. If he confessed, like, at 10:45 this morning?
Very.
All right. It's timely, right? Close to your eyes geographically or emotionally? What? Thank you, Brooklyn. All of you stood there before you said that. Who among your audience would be interested or affected, and how many? Would it be a significant number of your audience be interested or affected by that story?
Interested, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, interested, yeah. It could be one or the other. Affected, I don't know. I mean, not really, but interested, yeah, okay. Conflict?
Yeah, think.
Yeah. Featuring well-known, important people, places, or things?
Now, yeah.
Now, yeah. Jane Bashara 2 weeks ago, no. But now, yeah. So. And it's not generally a feel-good kind of a story, but out of those five, it hits all five, right? Well, where do you think that story would be in a newscast then?
Very close to the top.
Okay, that's how it works.
Okay. Do they have to be all
levels? No. Rarely do you get one that hits a home run like that. Okay. The emergency manager quandary in the Detroit City. Government. Okay. It's a timely story. It's close to your eyes geographically. If you're working in the greater Detroit area, and how many people are interested or affected by it? Well, again, interested maybe, affected well. You know, it may be a little short on one or another. But again, it depends on what kind of news day you're having. And some days it's either sadness or euphoria. You know, it's either you've got more than you can use or you don't have enough. So no, they don't have to read all five. You could lead with the newscast with one that has three out of five, if that's the best story you have. It depends. All right, next writing assignment, very quickly. It doesn't look like a newspaper story, but that's what it is. We retyped it. We didn't. Sue Kinney did. I should give credit where credit's due. But it is a newspaper story, so it's the first time you've tackled a true newspaper story. So here's the way you need to do it. In order to write this effectively, in my opinion, you need to make a fact sheet of your own. It's real easy. You just make a list of who, what, where, when, and why, literally those words, and then after each word, you pull the facts out of the story that apply. What, where, when, and maybe more than one of them. And after doing that, you take this information and put it aside and then write your story. This is not about rearranging the copy that you're looking at. Most people can trace. What I need you to do is to tell the story in your own words. Okay? Not Sean Lewis's words. Also, there's a little plagiarism problem that crops up when you do that. Okay? So news is something that interests or affects your audience. So we are interested in this story because, why?
Local.
What makes it local?
Troy High.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now again, the stories in this class and those otherwise directed, you're working in the greater Detroit area. So yeah, we're interested in this because it's a Troy graduate. Now how many, if you look through here, there were 32 U.S. recipients out of 1,600 applicants. 1,600 people applied to the Rhodes Scholarship Committee. Only 32 in the United States were selected. And there's only one from this area. So that's why, you know, again, if there wasn't anybody from this area selected, we probably aren't that interested in the story because it's not close to our audience in any kind of way. But we have Gene Jr., an alumna from Troy High School and place elsewhere, who is a recipient of the Rhodes Scholarship. Okay. Mm-hmm. As you read the story, and again, remember the six-step program from first marking period? Read the story, understand what the story is about. You need to do that. What you'll find in this story, and the reason I love it so, is because not only does it talk about the Rhodes Scholarship, it also talks about the Fulbright Scholarship. So your decision as a writer then, well, what's the story about and what facts do I use and what order do I put those facts in so I can tell a clear, concise story to the folks running up and down Evergreen today. Okay? 5 to 7 sentences. No more than 7. All caps, double-spaced, and spell-checked. Okay? Do it next Wednesday. And again, I apologize to those who sent me rough drafts of the fast story and I didn't get to, but if you want me to look it over, I'll be more than happy to do that. Okay, either in person or via the intranet. Okay.
So this story is in order. We just have to pick out.
Pardon me?
This story is in order. We just have to pick out what.
I didn't say that.
So we only use what we think is relevant. We don't have to use all the facts.
You can't. Yeah, correct. You still, okay. There's no way you use all the facts in 7 sentences.
Okay.
Yes.
What do you mean by timeliness?
Timeliness deals with, in order for a story to be included, there's got to be something new about it. It's got to be timely. Okay, it can't be something that happened a week ago or happened 2 days ago necessarily. There's got to be something. It could happen 2 days ago, whatever it is, but the reason we're talking about it today is the fact that there's something new about it. Okay. All right, anybody else with a question? So 5 to 7 sentences. Tell me a story about Gene Jr. that makes sense, okay? Cool. I will give you two more clues, actually. You must have a local angle in the lead. Mm-hmm. And you may not put her name in the lead. Never put names in leads, especially unknown names. Because if somebody doesn't know Gene Jr., they're not going to be interested in your story. It's going to go away, right? Any other questions? Next week in class, if everything goes as planned, fun in-class group activity. So you know, when it comes to fun, where to go find it. Right? Yeah, well, it's really 11 o'clock. Have a nice day.